Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Everybody, welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. It's the off season. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined today by Mr. Denny Carter. Where, as we do every show, we will talk about Russell Wilson. We'll talk about the Ravens adopting my plan to sign Derrick Henry, or there's league reports that they're going to sign a legit running back. We'll talk about Cliff Kingsbury in Washington, even though we maybe already talked about that. We'll talk about Tank Dell coming back from a severe lower body injury and how to break down the Texans receiver core, a.k.a. Tank Dell versus Nico Collins in 2024. We'll talk about the, quote, internal division as to which terrible Steelers quarterback should be the week one starter next year. And then last, but far from least, we're going to talk about Denny's article on quarterbacks versus the dreaded too high safety looks. But yeah, we'll get to the offseason.
The season is so off.
The season is so off. And I say, what have you done in your first post season week? You know, because the season, in some ways, the off season begins when you're a football writer, like the second the week 18 games in. The playoffs are actually kind of lower key, but you know, going to the Super Bowl these past few years, I feel like it doesn't really set in that it's the off season until we get back from Vegas or LA or wherever.
Yeah,
we've only had like a week or two. What are you doing to pass the time?
Writing constantly.
You are. What is the deal with that, by the way?
That's who I am. I cannot not write. You know, like I see like one interesting item on the timeline, and I'm like, I just start pulling that thread. What is going on here? And then the next thing you know, I'm eyeball deep in spreadsheets, and I have an article, which is the too high safety article. So that's how it goes. That's how I have been brought up. That's how I what is it? What's the term? Cut my teeth.
Cut your teeth writing an article.
My teeth
every
are very sharp. They're very sharp teeth.
I'm the exact opposite kind of writer. Where I'm an epics only writer. I only start an article if I know it'll take 3 weeks to do.
And I can't. I don't do that. And you know that I can't. You're like your 32 teams piece, which folks should check out on the site. I couldn't do it. Too much. You know why, Pat? I need immediate gratification. Immediate. Okay. So I need to write something, and I need to share it immediately, and I need everyone to tell me how great it is immediately.
I go for the big score. I go for the real score. I chase the big score.
I've never chased the big score. I've always just a little dopamine at a time, and it'll get me through.
You should chase the big score sometimes. This article is currently, so you know, our social media people, they like to get clicks. They like to get engagement, but they don't usually hang us out to dry. They had a really good tweet of my article, just like quoting my Bengals write-up.
Yeah.
And it has somehow created like a 48-hour Chiefs Bengals fan war. Yeah, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty old school Twitter, or Bengals and Chiefs fans are just like in hand-to-hand combat.
Really?
Yeah, like always.
So who's winning between the Chiefs and the Bengals, by the way?
The Chiefs fans have way better gifts. And
you know, overall.
Yeah. Overall,
we have to measure that sometime. Oh, I believe it is actually the Chiefs.
That's basically the Chiefs fans' only arguments in the menu. Like the Bengals fans are getting in like the nitty gritty. Like, well, sorry that like the 37th man on our roster isn't as good as the 37th man on your roster. Chiefs fans are just like Mahomes, lol. And then just kind of move on. They tweet a gif of like Mahomes.
But that's every Kansas City conversation. And we'll get into it when we talk about my piece. But every Kansas City conversation begins and ends with Mahomes lol.
I know.
That's it.
As you know, that was basically my Super Bowl analysis.
It was. And mine was actually no. My analysis was absolutely not Mahomes.
And I'm rarely as right as I was there. And I was thinking the entire – I wish I had gone harder on the Chiefs the entire playoffs because I kept saying –
You should have, yeah.
The two X factors are elite defense, playmaking quarterback. And so I was like dabbling in it the entire postseason where I was kind of – I wanted to hint basically I thought the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl. I did tweet on Christmas Day that I thought the Chiefs would win the Super Bowl. So I was kind of –
Yeah, covered. You did.
I was kind of covered, but I wish I had wrote it like a lot harder.
Right, right. Yeah, that would have been good because I know just talking with you offline, like, you know, that you did believe that. And I was never in. I was like, it cannot be this simple. It cannot just be you have one good quarterback and a good defense and you win the Super Bowl. But
yeah, we're in the Mahomes Lowell era. It's like, you know, like the NFL, I'm a Wikipedia guy, as everyone knows. And if you just like went on like the NFL Wikipedia page, the one that, you know, literally just says National Football League. I'm sure they have like an eras tab, and the era before this would say like Brady versus Manning versus mm-hmm. Breeze, mm-hmm. like rivalry. And this era will just say Mahomes Lowell, like even the football scholars, just the Mahomes
Lowell. And underneath that section, it'll say Bengals and Bills fans were coping.
Yeah. Say Bengals comma, Bills fans, colon cry more.
Cry more.
Yeah.
Cry and cope. You can try either. I don't think either will help you at this point.
Chiefs fans have suggested many variations of crying and coping mentions to the Bengals fans. But I love how real the rivalry is. It's gonna be already fired up for 2024.
The other day on Threads, which is another platform I visit.
Stop.
I was called the following. I was called a fan of the 40 Whiners.
You were all in on the 40 Whiners.
40 Whiners. The boomers got me. I was like, oh, good. Man, I'm triggered.
You know you're on Threads. Yeah, like you really get, you have 40 Whiners. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how you get served.
Oh, man, hey, listen, I have to talk in a completely different voice over there because my folks on Threads are not as poisoned with irony as we are over on the X platform.
You know how you get served on Threads, Denny? Huh. Is by being on Threads.
That's Come on. No, look, it's good.
You keep trying to hedge your X bets, and this is never going to happen. You can't kill it no matter what you do. You pour gasoline on it, throw a match on it, and literally nothing happens. Just keeps on living.
It's like Jason Voorhees, really.
It is. It's the perfect American enterprise. It's like Major League. I used to call Major League Baseball the great American cockroach. No matter what, you cannot kill it. You cannot. It always lives despite your best efforts in Twitter. Is approaching its American cockroach phase. It'll be known as Twitter again, by the way.
It won't.
It will.
It actually has gotten to the point. I'm bothered when you say Twitter.
No, stop. I'm bothered when you say X.
Call it X. It's not what it's called. It's not called Twitter.
It's Twitter forever. It's Twitter forever. It's Russell Wilson forever. It's the union forever. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports, quote, virtually no one around the league expects Russell Wilson to return to the Broncos in 2024. You can kind of see this coming when Sean Payton told me he was going to bench him if he didn't adjust his contract.
And then he did.
And then you could also see it coming when Sean Payton didn't let him do literally anything after October. Like he's like, you get to throw 15 passes a game with a total air yards of like 28 yards. And they still barely won games. You can kind of see it coming when they benched him late in the year.
So, all that. So also, you could see it coming when Russell Wilson recently sold his house in Denver.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he put it on the market, I should say.
Wow, how do we not talk about that on Galaxy Brains yet?
Oh, well, it was an oversight by the interns. I could
Is that the one with all the bathrooms? We didn't talk about that?
We did not talk about that. No. But yeah, there are still a lot of bathrooms.
We really got to talk about that in an upcoming Galaxy. By the way, check out last week's stunning Galaxy Brains where we got into the psyche of Kyle Shanahan. But I mean, Russ is the definition of damaged goods at this point. He was flopping at the end in Seattle. He's flopped as hard as you can possibly flop. In Colorado the past 2 years. Producer Adam sent us the betting odds for the show. The Steelers, who we'll talk about after this, actually. We'll get into our Steelers talk. Well, a good segue. It's what you do in the industry. If two topics are kind of related, try to talk about
And you also way. Call it out like that.
That's yeah. So we had the Steelers as the favorite. Then it has the Broncos still. We can just take the Broncos off the board, though. The Falcons, the Patriots, the Raiders, the Vikings. Do you have any lean on this, any desire on this? Because toward the end of the year, you were trying to say Russ was actually good. And there are a lot of people getting air mentioned saying that you were crying and coping and had watched Russ.
Look, I I quickly backed off that take because someone in so many words told me to check my numbers again and eliminate garbage time from my sample with Russell Wilson. And when you eliminate garbage time, Russell Wilson was worse than Desmond Ridder last year by almost every measure.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah. What? EPA, success rate, like fantasy points per dropback. So.
Well, then you'd also have to eliminate garbage time from Desmond Ridder stats, I'll say also. So it's kind of.
Yeah, and I didn't do that.
Scans from watching them, though.
So, Russell Wilson wasn't asked to do a whole lot last year. I guess early in the year, he looked okay from a statistical standpoint because the Broncos were just falling behind by multiple touchdowns every week, and they just had to let it rip, right? And he was rushing a little bit, and it seemed like, okay, I remember this, Russ. But I don't think that there's any indication that he can get back to where he was when he was, not even a dominant fantasy quarterback, but a viable fantasy
quarterback. That is the thing. He hasn't given us anything to cling to.
No, nothing. So, I think Pittsburgh would make sense just because they can't really, we'll talk about this, but they can't really go with Pickett or Mason Rudolph. But I don't know if Russell Wilson is that big of an upgrade, and they're going to have to pay for him. He's not free.
He's not free. I think the payment could probably be what he was drafted for, though, like a third-round pick at this point. And he's been bad enough the past 2 years where you can assume that maybe he gets named the week one starter right off the bat. He's officially on, like, every week benching watch stage of his career.
Right.
And that could change if he comes out and has a good 7 or 8 first games and somehow reestablishes some sort of career baseline. But he has tanked hard enough where – he's not even in, like, the top half of the quarterbacks. He could be, again, but, like, his floor is no longer top 16. The eye test has been horrible. The stats were weirdly fine last year. Even his touchdown percentage was kind of high. What's the deal with this?
It's the thing is that his metrics didn't fall off across the board, but it wasn't a thing where you could say, okay, I can see him getting back to where he was. I do think he could stabilize. I think in the perfect sort of offensive conditions, he could be fine. I would say for real football purposes, but for fantasy, I think that those days are gone.
It's totally over in fantasy. Absolutely agreed. And he's got to go somewhere. He's got to throw it all the way back to when they didn't let him pass. And it was a totally run-based offense. Pete Carroll was right all along.
He was.
Really, really hate to give it to him, but you have to hand it to him. Man, has anyone ever been more right than Pete? And then they got fired for being right.
They hired a guy who said, we're going to establish the run. And Pete Carroll's at home thinking, wait, that's why I was fired.
No, that's my move. But the Steelers do make a ton of sense. He's got to go somewhere that is based. It's not just balance that is a run-based offense. The Steelers have the personnel for that.
Right.
They very much have the offensive coordinator for that. They have the head coach for that. So the Steelers do make a lot of sense because as we're about to get into, they cannot possibly run it back with what they have.
It is unbelievable. I mean, the other teams, I guess maybe the Falcons, maybe.
The Falcons, but the thing is that what they're going to do won't be different enough than what the Broncos did. It has to be a team that's like all the way in on the run. Maybe the Falcons will be with their Sean McVay disciples that they have installed there and, of course, their run blocking in their backfield. I guess the Falcons would be fine. The Steelers just feel like mentality wise, not just personnel wise, like organizationally wise, franchise wise, like they're all on the same page about just running the rock.
I agree. Culturally, I think Russell Wilson fits well with a team that, wants to play like it's 1987, and that's the Steelers. And it always will be. If the NFL lasts until the year 3000, the Steelers will always be a run first team. Always.
They will, except for those that Ben Roethlisberger and Terragum. How do you pronounce that word? I don't know how to say that word. I read it all the time.
I hate words that I read all the time that I don't know how to say.
But say the Steelers, the beat writer, Jerry Dulac, Denny, said there appears to be some internal division about who should be the Steelers starting quarterback next year. Talk about like Titanic deck chair rearranging when you're arguing over Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and no longer Mitchell Trubisky. He has been mutually agreed to part ways, a.k.a. he was mercilessly released.
Mercifully
released. So I interrupted your train of thought there because we have officially transferred to Steelers.
Look, I'm per the numbers, Mason Rudolph was worlds better than Kenny Pickett last year. There is no argument for going back to Kenny Pickett besides if you have like a gut feel, you know, about the
argument is development. That's the only argument because it wasn't just the numbers. It was also the eye test. They became a competent offense with Mason Rudolph.
They did, yeah. And an efficient passing offense. And I think that's what they're looking for. They're, you know, they don't want Mason Rudolph dropping back 40 times. Hell, they don't want him dropping back 30 times probably. Yeah. And so he got it done on limited attempts and was by every measure, like you know, orders of magnitude more efficient than Kenny Pickett, whose you know, inefficiency is actually stunning at this point, where there's the meme where every time a quarterback does anything, it's like, oh, he's better than Kenny Pickett. You know, like Easton Stick, better than Kenny Pickett. You know, like it's just instantly like Daniel Jones, like the Giants with Daniel Jones. Everybody's better than Daniel Jones. So I actually don't think that there is an argument about Pickett over Rudolph. I would go with Rudolph easily.
I wonder, they probably can't really do this. They should acquire Russ and cut Kenny Pickett and roll with Mason Rudolph as the number two. That's probably too. I mean, do you think Kenny Pickett's the week one starter? Like, do they almost have to? No. Is the cost not quite sunk enough yet where they have to, like, we got to give this one more go around? Like, it's not sunk cost territory. It's not cut time territory. Let's just see the young man. There's been a recent trend of quarterbacks having a year three leap, beginning with Josh Allen. Of course, he's no Josh Allen. But or is it really – is it just already totally donezo with Kenny Pickett?
I think it's done. But I'm not totally discounting Pickett as the week one starter because – you know, if he has like a good training camp and a decent preseason or whatever, and he'll get lots of run in the preseason, I'm sure.
Remember, well, he's already had a good preseason. Last year, he had quite the preseason.
Right, but then he would get that job, I would guess, because they want him to succeed. They have a lot invested in him, like you said. The sunk cost issue is real. It's real with teams, and I do think they're going to give him every chance to fail. So he could get one more. But there's really just very, very, very little in Pickett's profile. Even when they switched, remember briefly they switched to throwing to the middle of the field after Matt Canada was fired.
The MOF, as you
horridly
love to call it.
They attacked the MOF mercilessly. And Pickett had one good game against the Bengals, and that was it. And, you know, that after that, it kind of fell apart. So I don't think that there's like a magic formula here that the Steelers can strike that would make Kenny Pickett, that would help make up for his deficiencies in a lot of areas, including arm strength, which he does not have.
Well, that is like the huge problem with Kenny Pickett is that he's nothing that has happened was not easily foretold. Like it was all in his pre-draft profile.
Yes.
There were positives in his pre-draft profile, but like all these negatives were highly visible in his pre-draft profile. I'm like, I don't know, if things don't go right, he can be pretty terrible. And that, because you get into the efficiency stats, the more advanced stats like EPA, where of course he's awful. Just all the traditional stats. He has 13 touchdowns in 25 career games.
13. That's unreal.
That really is, that's 70 style football. His touchdown rate was under 2% each of the past 2 years. He has as many interceptions as touchdowns. Like, it's just, I mean, he's going to be 26, by the way. He's going to be 26 years old already. This is a five-alarm fire. It's about as bad as a quarterback pick has gone in recent memory.
Yeah, I mean, and they swung and missed. I hope that for the Steelers' sake, they don't spend much more time pretending that this is going to happen for Pickett.
Third-round pick for Russell Wilson, or just wait till he's cut, I guess, and sign
right.
Him. But you probably have to give him a third round pick for Russ, because the Falcons and Steelers, I hate to say it, both the Falcons and Steelers should trade for Russ. That might be a completely colossally awful idea. Actually,
I'm seeing more and more talk about Cousins to Atlanta, and I'm becoming obsessed with the idea.
Now, man, that'll be a fiasco.
What?
Yeah. You can't start over with Kirk can't start over. And a team can't start over with Kirk, I'll say, on a bum leg, too. Oh, man. That'd be Matt Ryan in Indianapolis territory waiting to happen, I think.
Achilles is nothing now. It's nothing. ask Aaron Rodgers. It's fine.
My physical therapist, who is obsessed with football, says the Achilles is very much still not nothing. And so that's what I based all my takes on.
Real quick, I forgot to share this stat. Kenny Pickett on middle of the field throws. And these are the throws that create an efficient quarterback. It's why Tua is good, right? It's why Brock Purdy.
Why Tua appears good.
It's why he's good for fantasy. Why sort of good for fantasy. It's why he puts up good stats. It's why he's efficient, okay? Mm-hmm. This is a Shanny thing mostly. So middle of the field, big thing. Kenny Pickett, 60th in completion percentage over expected on middle of the field throws. Behind such luminaries as Trevor Siemian and Taylor Heineke.
Say, did 60 quarterbacks even play last
well,
year?
Well, this is a large sample. This is
still, even in a large sample, the 60 quarterbacks played. Oh, wow.
Yeah. A lot of quarterbacks did play last year. But yeah, I mean, so what are we talking about? We're talking about Trevor Siemian. That's who we're talking about.
I mean, it'd be one thing if he was going to turn 23. He's turning 26, Kenny Pickett.
Well, yeah, when does the development happen?
He turns 26 in June? Are you kidding me? I assume this was at least like December. Oh, my God.
Oh, to be 26 again.
This guy turned 26 in June. Oof. Oof, man. Yikes. My kid turns 8 in – no, I was saying June. It's actually May. We have every summer month covered except for June. We'll do that with the next one, Denny.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
too soon.
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, you know, it's never too soon, apparently.
Please, God. We'll move on. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, he's been trying to give us a lot of content today.
Yes.
He says, some personnel people inside the league, the Ravens, believe the Ravens will target a running back with a pedigree in free agency. My show note says, just at Derrick Henry next time. please just add him. His engagements, actually, ever since they started calling X's engagements down. So just at Derrick Henry
right
next time. I genuinely, it's the most Luddite idea ever. I've been beating this drum, as you know, for months. The Ravens need a real running back. Like, they're a run-based team.
I hate it.
They try to efficiency back it. They have to have a real running back. Lamar Jackson, this is like when he really needs, like in the game has to be put in his shoulders. They don't have quite the passing attack to make like these big, they can't force big plays through the passing game, basically. And you can't force a big play in the running game beyond Lamar Jackson. They need another way where they can like create. I know people say, well, Keaton Mitchell on 40. Yeah, great. When he got 40, super easy change of pace touches. Yeah, he averaged like 9 yards per touch or whatever because he was getting put in the game in all the most advantageous running back touch situations. They need someone else who I feel like can create big plays in the running game. And maybe Derrick Henry's washed. Maybe Josh Jacobs is washed. But to me, this idea makes a lot of sense. So the Ravens should be the rare team to spend on an RB.
I respectfully disagree with my co-host.
Look, they gave up the run. They abandoned the run after like two attempts in the AFC Championship game because they didn't have a real running back.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, look, you know, Baltimore is like a tough-nosed team. Okay, they like to run. They stress defense and running and all this stuff. So, and they're, you know, very welcoming to washed veterans. So this would make a lot of sense. Okay, your last stop is always either Baltimore or Arizona. You might as well make it Baltimore,
or Tennessee,
and so maybe Derrick Henry learns to speak Baltimore and goes to the Ravens for 1 year.
Learns to speak Old Bay,
and yeah. Derrick, if you're listening, I will teach you how to eat a crab if you come up here. I actually think for fantasy it'd be really cool. I want to say that, okay, because you know, analyzing the game from a real standpoint, from a fantasy standpoint, it all gets muddled up. And then people throw it back at you and say, well, you said you didn't like Derrick Henry to the Ravens. And he's the RB1 overall after week 8. And I really believe that he would have tremendous upside with Lamar Jackson as his quarterback, with defenses terrified of Lamar's mobility. And that would really open things up for him. And he needs, at this point in his career, I think Derrick Henry needs that. You know, he needs that advantage that you get from taking handoffs from a mobile quarterback. Ask Gus Edwards how that works. Okay. Gus Edwards, who is a guy, who is just a guy.
This is where I have to interrupt now, because this is where my argument comes in.
Yeah.
Because then like the second the touches aren't layups, the whole thing just collapses. Like they just admit it collapsed because they don't have real running backs. And the second they're not in an advantageous situation where like it's a run friendly spot where you have to be terrified of Lamar Jackson, the running game totally collapses, like totally collapses. And they have to have someone who can actually gain yards by themselves. But Gus Edwards is a joke. Like, it's a joke. It's a total joke. I know it wasn't the plan. J.K. Dobbins got hurt again. But Gus Edwards and Keaton Mitchell is a joke. It's, for a run-based team, it's a joke.
I like Keaton Mitchell a lot, but I don't know.
He's a change of pace back. He's like, you know, it's like second and three, and you give him a handoff where they're terrified that you're going to pop a 20-yard pass on second down or whatever. That's where he shines. Or like an obvious screen situation, he gains 32 yards. Like, congratulations. There's like 70 running backs that can do this.
Oh, no. No, Keaton Mitchell, I'm not going to say he's like generational, but I mean, he led the league in explosive run rate.
Because every time he got the ball, it was the most advantageous. It was always when like the team had to be where it was when the Ravens were playing with a lead. And like, it was like an obvious, like step on their throats, passing situation. And they hand it off and it's a big game.
I would rather see the Ravens get some good receivers rather than what they have now, which is,
can we talk about by the way, Bill Belichick gets all the receiver like stuff. Like, maybe the Ravens should consider drafting one good receiver. Like, Bill Belichick takes all the heat for that. Maybe the Ravens should make one good decision ever at wide receiver.
Right. I mean, so the Odell thing, let's just call it what it is. It's a complete disaster for Odell. I mean, it didn't work. It was the worst case scenario. I mean, I say the worst case scenario would be him hurting his knee again, which thankfully didn't happen. But, you know, he was not good. He's banged up. They limited his playing time throughout. We kept waiting. Well, this is the week. This is the week. They're saving him for the playoffs. They're saving him for the AFC Championship. They're saving him for something. They got to be. And no, he was a part-time player. Sometimes he was only running 30% of the routes in important games. So that's a disaster. Got to write that off. You have Zay Flowers, who could be a good wide receiver too. I know you think he should be in the UFL or whatever. But
his psyche's destroyed now. He's finally starting to actually play well, and then he destroyed his psyche.
I actually don't know how you come back from what happened to Zay Flowers. But get a good receiver instead of spending a lot of resources.
This is another Ravens rant. The Ravens don't spend money on anything.
They don't.
They don't ever re-sign anybody.
Defensively, they do.
So, sometimes they let so many, I feel like, edge rushers leave who immediately go get 12 sacks somewhere else because then they just create another one. Like, they're so good. I don't even know what the Ravens spend money on. So just spend, you're like the rare team that can splurge on a running
game. And producer Adam said they do, you know, bring in a veteran defensive player.
It's always like a 1 or 2 year deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Chase Young is going to be a Raven this offseason, and he's going to get 14 sacks next year.
Exactly.
That's the way it goes with that team. Henry in Baltimore, and by the way, immediately Robert Griffin III photoshopped a picture of Derrick Henry in a Ravens jersey. So thank you, RG3, for doing that promptly. Great. I think fantastic for fantasy, honestly. For real football, I don't know.
I think it's fantastic we saw this. Everyone knew that to beat the Chiefs, they had to run. They're a run-based team.
I know.
And then their personnel is a joke, so they couldn't do it. Get a real running back. I don't know what you're doing. Like, stop. You can't. So many teams can moneyball running back. Yeah. The Ravens are one of the teams that cannot moneyball running back. It's too important to what they do. Like, the Chiefs can never. The Chiefs don't need to spend another American dollar on a running back. The Bengals don't really ever need to spend an American dollar on a running back. But the Bills, I think the Bills kind of do. Some teams have this luxury where they don't have to invest in a running back. I don't think the Ravens are one of these teams.
You know, that's actually good. I hate to hand it to you. That's a good point.
So I was yelling enough, so I just wore you down.
You too.
You're very angry. I don't know why.
This is how my kids win.
It's got very, very angry. It seems like a good time to take a break. Yeah. We'll be right back after this. Spring training is here, so for those looking to get ahead on the upcoming MLB season, grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide today. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit NBCSports.com/draftguide and use promo code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, It's true magic, because we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
I have to put out a word to Adam that we can't have the word success in promos anymore
because you can't say it.
I can't. I'm an adult who can't say a word.
I mean, we worked on this for 15 minutes before the show and you still botched it.
I'm not ashamed. I'm an adult and there's a word I can't say. My kids are rubbing my head. It's okay, Daddy. You'll get the pronunciation. I know it's a little hard with those C's in the middle. Thank you. Thank you for understanding.
I mean, it's a classic. It's a classic Rotopet overthink, is what it is.
And now I see it coming, and then he sees beads of sweat. And success, success, success. And Suk S. They're like, oh my God, we got to reread the promo.
Yeah.
I didn't botch it.
Delete the podcast because you can't say
success. Exactly. I didn't botch it too bad that we have to do that. You know who did botch it too bad, Denny? Was the Commanders when they hired Cliff Kingsbury as their offensive coordinator. He has, quote, full control of their offense in 2024, according to the Washington Post. We've probably already talked about this. We've talked about it a lot over the years. Yeah. What does this mean? We don't know who the Commanders quarterback is going to be. Maybe it'll be Caleb Williams. Probably more likely to be Drake May. What does this mean, giving Cliff Kingsbury full reins of an offense in the year 2024?
It means it's probably not good. Is what I would say. You know, I wanted to mention this piece. I'll actually post about it on the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, later. Mark Bullock, who covers the team, covers the Commanders, and has his own site where he breaks down film and stats and everything for the Commanders. He had an interesting piece on Cliff Kingsbury. I pulled from it a little bit here. I mean, what you're getting is a ton of shotgun and pistol stuff, okay, including running out of that, which is
our guy loves the pistol,
which is not great. I will say that looking very strongly at the numbers, and I'm not seeing good things about running from the shotgun and pistol. So just to give you an idea of how much usage we're talking about of pistol and shotgun, Kingsbury's Cardinals in 2022 led the league with 722 snaps out of shotgun or pistol formation. The next closest team was the Chiefs with 658. Okay, so not even close. The Cardinals, by the way, Pat, and here's the kicker. Okay, I have a kicker here. The kicker is the Cardinals were 27th in adjusted net yards per attempt out of the pistol and shotgun that season. So,
man,
really, like, lots of stuff that doesn't work. That's the Kingsbury calling card. The gap scheme that Kingsbury favors is very good for Brian Robinson, who played in that in Alabama, has had success. I do like him. I mentioned him a couple weeks ago on the show as a potential beneficiary. But overall, man, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing here.
Well, Cliff didn't do a great job developing Kyler Murray. You could debate whose fault that really is. It seems like it might be the player's fault.
Yeah.
There's been enough reports over the years that maybe he's not doing the things he needs to do to develop into a franchise quarterback. But, I mean, as the meme goes, our guy, Cliff, had a losing record with Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech.
It's amazing.
I don't know why you really want this guy to be the one. Washington, who's been in the wilderness for the entire 21st century, like, they're finally coming out into the daylight. Like, why is the plan for the most important asset they've had since RG3 to be developed by Cliff Kingsbury?
I mean, I just don't get it. It's not hard. Like, the Commanders always make it so hard on themselves. Just get someone who knows Shanahan.
I would simply not hire a basketball guy to then hire his high school friend to then hire Dan Quinn to then hire Cliff Kingsbury. And I get so much pushback on the first off, they're not even friends. They barely attended high school to say they only overlapped 1 year in high school.
Right. They were barely in each other's weddings.
Yeah.
No, I actually don't know that, but. Yeah. But yeah, I mean it's a weird thing. So Brian Johnson, obviously, you know, fired by Nick Sirianni, who was willing to throw everybody under the bus so that he could keep his job until October 12th, when he will be fired.
Belichick has already bought a home in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and two just in case. So Sirianni threw Brian Johnson under the bus. Brian Johnson comes to Washington. So the question was, will Brian Johnson have like a power struggle with Kingsbury to coach this offense? Because we have to remember, Brian Johnson got a bad rap in Philadelphia. He was running Sirianni's system per Sirianni. These are not conspiracies. This is not he said, she said. Sirianni said, it was my system. It failed. I'm firing Brian Johnson because of it. And so Brian Johnson is probably has a future with this organization. I don't really know what he's going to be doing, but apparently he's not going to have input on offense until maybe Kingsbury, I don't know, loses play calling duty, something like that this season.
Nick Sirianni has been forced to fire Brian Johnson for the third time. Sorry. No one will get this joke, but Denny and I, but that's all right. Cliff, the track record is not good. Do you think it means they're getting Caleb? Because it was a very Caleb coded hiring.
I mean,
he accepted a job at the Raiders all but signed.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think the Commanders will do whatever it takes to get Caleb Williams. I don't know what that means for Justin Fields.
Honestly, though, maybe there's an understanding the Bears just want Drake May that badly and they don't even have to make a move.
Maybe. Look, we're still a long way from the draft. Like things change, you know, And I believe, you know, in 30 days, we could be talking about, well, will the Bears take Drake May one over Caleb Williams? That, you know, the discourse changes rapidly this time of year.
It does. We're almost to the discourse, the too high safety discourse. For Tank Dell, coming off, again, that really serious orthopedic ankle leg injury. I said he's expecting to be ready for OTAs, which began like 6 weeks.
That's crazy.
Tank was taking the league by storm. He was taking fantasy by storm until his injury. Nico Collins took full advantage with and without Tank Dell on the field, but Tank almost seemed like he was becoming the wide receiver one before his injury.
Yeah.
What do you expect to happen between Tank, who was looking so good, and Nico Collins, who at the end of the season just totally stuffed the stat sheet?
Right. I mean, it's hard to say that Tank Dell is going to be, I think, better for fantasy than Nico Collins, although Tank Dell – without Tank Dell, the Houston offense was not nearly the threat.
Denny, I almost think
it was.
Could it be a classic Tank is better for fantasy, but Nico's better in real life as like
maybe
a field stretcher? I mean,
here are some numbers just to give some context. So yards per route run, Nico Collins 3.1, which is outrageous.
Very high.
Tank Dell was down at 2.2. I think their A dot kind of says it all. Average depth of target. So you have Tank Dell at 14.5. A dot and Nico Collins around 11. You know, Tank Dell was a big play downfield guy. Neither of them were playing from the slot all that much. You know, you had Tank Dell playing about 27% of his snaps from the slot and Nico playing almost exclusively outside. But I think that Tank in that offense is good for Nico Collins down the line. I mean, like overall that Nico Collins gets way less attention. Like his double team rate spiked with Tank Dell off the field. So I would say I favor Nico Collins, but I could understand an argument in favor of Dell, assuming he's at full health.
They got to bring Tank closer to the line of scrimmage. They got to get Tank into the slot. They got to start using this guy. I'm not an expert really on how Antonio Brown is used, but it seemed like he was used all over the field. Mm-hmm. And how much did they use Antonio Brown in the slot in Pittsburgh? I think not as much as you would maybe guess.
No, I know. I used to think it was like 80%, yeah. But it was usually like half or less than half. Yeah.
So Antonio Brown, maybe not a great comp because he seems small, so it seemed like he should be getting slot snaps, but instead he was just one of the greatest ever outside receivers.
Yeah, right. I mean, so both Tank Dell and Nico Collins were insanely efficient last year. Just looking at what I would call a boomer stat, yards per reception. Nico Collins had about 16 yards per reception. Tank Dell was at 15. And I think that that's a product of CJ Stroud, being really good and lifting up his teammates, elevating his teammates, unlike another rookie quarterback last year.
His last season in Pittsburgh, AB was playing about 10 to 20 snaps in the slot. Tank needs some time in the slot. Is one of my opinions. I'm sure he was getting some last year. I don't remember, but
27% from the slot, and you could see. I that'd be cool if we could get more of that because
we need a lot more.
Yeah. So
PFF Tank, Bobby, man, I don't know about PFF Bobby.
I'm a little skeptical on my boy PFF Bobby. But so Tank Dell had a pretty volatile like receiving profile. Okay, like lots of downfield stuff, lots of like long catches on deep balls. You know, very little yak. Okay, so like the talking about bankable fantasy production, you don't really have a ton of it with Tank Dell. And what I mean by that is like easy stuff underneath that kind of smooths out the weeks where he doesn't hit the long ball. And I think folks may remember when you started to play Tank Dell in your lineup every week, there were some tough weeks. Okay. And then there were some glorious weeks. It's just how it goes. Maybe that's just who he's going to be.
Maybe it is. A lot of times who you are as a rookie is who you're going to be your entire career, especially because coaches think that, well, it's all I can do. And then they never, NFL, they adjust roles like less than any league I've ever seen. Like, it's actually crazy.
It's pretty frustrating.
Like, an NFL coach, if you hit seventh as a rookie in Major League Baseball, like, oh, he's a number seven hitter. This is where I have no choice but to hit him seventh for 11 years. Led the league in on-base percentage 5 years in a row. You should maybe hit him first or second. I have no chance. Seventh, number seven hitter.
I would like to contribute to this baseball discourse, but I have nothing.
Yeah, spring training is in full swing, and Denny knows nothing absolutely about it. The show is in full swing. We'll be right back after this. Big Ten teams are looking to boost their resume for the big dance down the backstretch of the conference season. And on Tuesday evening, four teams will make their case for the committee. It starts when Iowa travels to East Lansing for a battle with Michigan State at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Then stick around as upset-minded Maryland, the Fightin' Denny Carters, try to take down Wisconsin at 9 p.m. Eastern. Both games are streamed exclusively on Peacock.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? X-Go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Denny will never watch one Maryland sporting event.
I was actually forced to watch Maryland the other day at the beautiful Comcast Center. I wasn't there, I should say. I was at a restaurant with my family, and the Maryland Illinois game came on. Here's how much I know about basketball. I identified Maryland as the wrong team on the court for the first 5 minutes of the game.
So Denny knows nothing about baseball. He knows nothing about basketball, yet he claims to be American.
Sorry if you're.
Well, he knows everything about football and way too much about golf. So he's indeed very American.
I'm grinding UFL rosters as we speak.
I wish that were a bit.
But you do, I know. You and my wife both wish that were a bit.
I need to go see AJ McCarron, though, at the Dome at America Center in St. Louis for my beloved Battle Hawks. Denny, you're never not writing, as you said earlier in the show. You tackled one of the more divisive, more of this like debate-worthy topics the past few years, two high safeties, how quarterbacks are faring, and what the actual effect of two high, one high safeties is. And just what are some of the takeaways? What was the thesis of your article? What were some of the takeaways? Yeah. And we'll get into a few more granular questions.
Right. So we're two seasons into the proliferation of two high safety coverages, otherwise known as shell coverages, two high zone, whatever you want to call it. Keeping two safeties way off the line of scrimmage to make sure that guys don't beat you deep. And this is primarily deployed against against elite quarterbacks, against Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. But it has risen across the league. So I thought it was worth looking at, seeing who is being aggressive against these defensive looks and who is not. And then sort of judging from that, you know, what does that mean for their pass catchers? And what does that mean for fantasy for both the quarterbacks and their pass catchers? I do think that there are some things that, you know, we could draw on from what we found here, what I found here. You do have guys challenging these looks big time. And one of those guys is Will Levis, who actually led the league in deep ball rate against two high looks last season.
It's another thing. You're in the middle of such a good speech here, but that's another thing that's scanned. Like, wow, Will Levis doesn't care how high the safeties are.
As I said in the article, he ain't reading all that. Okay. Like he sees two high safeties and he's throwing it up and he's saying DeAndre down there somewhere. And he also had the highest average depth of target against two high safeties by a long shot. So, you know, maybe that's good for Treylon Burks. If he can, you know, get his head on right and be healthy and you know, he led the Titans, as I said in the piece, led the Titans in air yards per target last year. So maybe it's good for him. Maybe it's good for someone like Marquise Brown, who's been rumored to maybe, you know, have interest in the Titans or vice versa. So, you know, just something to file away as far as like Will Levis is okay with throwing it deep against these looks. And it's something I would love to see more of, you know, as a football fan, as a viewer, because it's fun. It's fun to see those shots, and Will Levis is giving that to us. You also have Jordan Love.
I was going to say
very aggressive.
Let's talk about Jordan Love, because I think we're getting tired of the station to station passing, and it's the least visually appealing style of football. Right? Violent running is visually appealing. Deep passing is visually appealing. Like the Tom Brady, Drew Brees, like take your medicine, like 46-yard passes for you, finally attempting the 140-yard pass. It's just not that fun to watch.
Yeah.
And Will Levis was fun to watch. He was sometimes painfully bad to watch. Jordan Love was extremely fun to watch his entire first year as starter. So yeah, what did you find about Jordan Love against two high safeties?
Yeah, so Jordan Love, you know, he wasn't facing two high safeties at nearly the rate as a Burrow or a Mahomes, which, you know, checks out because I don't know if teams respected him in the same way. But he had the second highest ADOT against two highs and through downfield. So when I say downfield, I mean at least 20 yards through the air. On 16% of his dropbacks against two high safeties. So, I drew from that, you know, that Christian Watson might be interesting at some point if he's able to draw targets, which has been a problem. If he's able to stay healthy.
He could be so good.
Yes, I agree. I agree. The soft tissue stuff is very, very concerning. Every time he kind of gets on a roll, he gets that soft tissue thing and he has to sit out for a month. But yeah, so Christian Watson by far and away led the team in air yards per route, air yards per target, all of it. You know, so it would be presumably good for him if Love stays aggressive in 2024. I will say that maybe the heater that he was on at the end of the season and into the playoffs will kind of scare defenses off a little bit and say, okay, we have to treat this guy like an elite quarterback, and we have to increase our usage of the two high look.
That's probably the primary adjustment coming for Jordan Love in 2024 that he's going to have to adjust to. Our guy was living a charmed life down the stretch. And it's surprisingly hard to make mid-season adjustments, even for good coaches, for good teams. There's just only so much you can do on the fly especially the division rivals now, like digging into the Jordan Love film this offseason, you'd have to assume they're going to throw a lot more of those looks at. I'm looking at your article, the stats that you got from Fantasy Points. I cannot believe Baker Mayfield faced more two high safety looks than Patrick Mahomes. Is that just because of their personnel, I guess?
Yeah. It's insane, really, when you think about it. But yeah, Baker Mayfield faced two high safeties at the highest rate in the league. And
I don't know why I'm asking about that. There's really nothing to take away from.
Well, I think, you know, they were scared of Mike Evans. Like they were just saying that we're not letting you just toss it deep to Mike Evans. I would like to look, you know, more granular.
I put that word in your head.
Granular,
sorry.
Look, into whether those two high looks increased over the course of the season once Baker Mayfield showed that he could hit Mike Evans deep. But you know, it is worth noting, especially because it seems like Mike Evans has a good chance to return to Tampa. Baker Mayfield is a virtual lock to, yes, you know, to end up there again. So. Yeah, worth noting. And then, and you know, that Burrow and Mahomes, they have been, so this is another thing that, you know, the mixing of real and fantasy football, Mahomes has been forced into this dink and dunk system, role, game manager, maybe.
He's been forced to check down for the third time.
And he has, and he's done it way more than three times, because A, teams relentlessly play too high safeties against him, and B, he doesn't have anybody to beat those looks deep like he did with Tyreek Hill. So he has adjusted, and it has worked quite well, seeing that he's won, let me count, two Super Bowls in a row, and will probably just win a third easily doing the same thing.
You know that every time you trade Tyreek Hill, you immediately win two Super Bowls?
The Dolphins should try that. See if it works.
Yes.
It worked for Kansas City. So maybe they'll get someone who can actually go downfield and beat guys downfield. Maybe Marquise Brown. I know this is the second time I mentioned him. I don't know why I keep mentioning him.
Wow.
Rashee Rice is not doing that. Let me tell you that. Okay.
Maybe he could. They just used him that way.
No, absolutely not.
In college, they used him that way too.
Yeah, so, yeah. He's catching and he's running. So Mahomes, I think that's who he is. I do think that limits his fantasy profile along with
the Chiefs are fine and have improved personnel. We're going to see the return of scorched earth Mahomes. It's just a matter of time. I know you don't want to believe this, but he's coming back. So Mahomes, he takes what the defense gives him, didn't he?
Yeah, I get that. You know, I sent the piece to, Ben Baby from ESPN who covers the Bengals. And I asked about, like, is there any chance that we'll see the Burrow from, like, you know, 2020, 2021 before the shell looks came into fashion? And, you know, for all intents and purposes, Ben Baby said no. He said, quote, Burrow's superpowers, as the staff likes to describe them, are his decision-making and processing. He's not going to force the ball into a too high look. Taking the check down has also been a point of emphasis dating back to last season. I can't see that changing until defenses start to commit more bodies to the box to stop the run. That's not going to happen.
No.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
Who was someone you taught Will Levis being surprisingly aggressive against the two high? Was the answer for who was surprisingly non-aggressive, was the answer Mahomes and Burrow?
I mean, it's shocking, actually. It's like they're like shockingly not unaggressive. We're talking about, you know, Burrow has the same A dot against two high safeties as Bryce Young. Okay. It was lower than Mac Jones and Aiden O'Connell against such looks. So yeah, Joe Burrow went deep on 6% of his dropbacks against two highs. It's just not happening. And then, by the way, this is fantastic for Ja'Marr Chase. You know, it's just really good for him to just gobble up short area targets. It's really bad for T. Higgins because he's going to return to Cincinnati and he's going to be frustrating again. So just these are things just file away as we get into the offseason.
I was wondering, it seems like Tyler Boyd's going to walk in free agency. I wonder what that means for the Bengals receiver course would be pretty fascinating. They had already kind of phased out Tyler Boyd though, where he might not have been being used any differently than like a replacement level slot receiver. So I wonder if him departing will even have any effect anyways.
I mean, it could be, you know, this propensity to check down could be great for a guy like Chase Brown if Joe Mixon finally leaves Cincinnati You know?
I know. Joe Mixon, this is the year, is finally going to get cut, and he's renegotiated his contract.
What is it, 3 straight years?
It's going on half a decade at least.
It's every single year. Chase Brown is a really good pass catcher, really efficient pass catcher. Could be really fun for him.
The economy is just too good to cut Joe Mixon. You don't really it's just too good right now.
He does come through. He just finds a way to come through. I included some Jake Browning stats in there specifically for you, Pat. My guy Browning's looking good.
You love your Jake Browning. But yeah, so putting a bow on your art, the people who weren't going deep against the two high very often, most of them are not surprised. Like Jared Goff, never doing that because he would be released, I suppose.
Yeah.
And they also don't have the personnel. Well, they kind of have the personnel for that now. But J-Mo finally.
J-Mo is not going to see a single deep ball next year.
It's bad. It's bad. Kenny Pickett under 7%. Yikes. So really, really fascinating article, though.
Thanks.
You released it maybe too early. You have to refresh this and put it out later when people are really prepping.
I will.
I feel like this would be an essential piece of preparation.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, as free agency goes on, guys are signed, as guys are drafted, you know, rosters are not final yet. I don't know if you know this. We're gonna see some roster turnover in the next 6 months. So
free agency is horrifyingly soon, by the way. Like horrifyingly. Do you have any idea when free agency begins?
Yeah. It's March 8th.
No, thankfully it's a little. It's 20 days from now is when the legal tampering period begins. March 11th, and because it's a leap year, right? Yeah, it's a leap year. I'm not ready for this. Well, it technically begins March 13th, as producer Adam points out, but functionally it begins March 11th when the legal tampering period.
It's still a while away. We'll never get there.
Horrifyingly soon. But I mean, the fans love it, as the writers were like, "Oh man, maybe it could be 5 weeks from now."
We had a blurb today about Mike Evans to Carolina, and I did not like that.
No. By the way, that was maybe a bit of a stretch.
Hey, Dave Canales is the coach there.
It's actually not a stretch at all. It's very sad. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully the show ends because it's over. So for Denny, check out his article. Really, really good. Seriously, check it out on rotoworld.com. For Denny, I'm Pat. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with our friend Kyle DeFetcher.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona!
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you!
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.